You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We've got Ty and Jake. They're producing the show back in New York City. I'm in my home studio that I love so much. So nice. I've each and every week I add a little element in here. Right? Like whether it's like Barry, like this has become a mixture of my home studio / chick cave, right? Like whether it's do you know who Ferdy Pacheco is? Ty?
Do I know who
Ferdy Pacheco is? He was known as the fight doctor. He was Muhammad Ali's fight.
Oh, yes. I do know.
So, as you know, the Fifth Street Gym, Muhammad Ali used to train down in Miami. And so I got to know him quite well. And anyway, he used to be on my radio shows whenever I would talk about boxing, when boxing was like a thing, right? Like when heavyweight bouts really happened, like when Tyson was like killing people within like the first 5 seconds of a bout. And I'd have him in studio, and so he was an artist, and so he painted a painting for me of a girl dressed in a football outfit. So I have that here in my kind of my studio / chick cave. My favorite football player, probably of all time, Barry Sanders. I have a jersey autographed by him. So I eventually have to get that framed, and that will go in here. So it's just like I added some candles. It's just like each and every week I make this like more and more like my groove, and I love it because it's really important, right? No matter what you do in life, right? At work, you know, if you go to work or, you know, again, COVID-19, you've created a home office for yourself. You walk in there, you want a nice vibe. You want a nice feel. Cause then, you know, hopefully the show will be better when I'm in here and I'm feeling it and I'm in some type of groove. I heard our new studios in New York City are spanking nice. So I'm sure you guys are feeling nice there in the city, right?
We are. We're working through the kinks, but shout out to Rodney Belizaire for all the work he's done.
I love Rodney.
The Rodney Belizaire Studios.
Can we just say how much we love Rodney and how he's the heartbeat of 98.7 ESPN. He's the one who keeps us alive.
He might be the hardest working man at ESPN. He's here early in the morning and he's here late in the night. And a lot of respect goes out to Rodney.
Yeah, big shout out to Rodney. But we've got a great show lined up for you. Steve Verderosa was on with me last night. Hosted, was in for Carlin, did a week in wager, 7 to 10 p.m. Steve is, one of the best guests that we can have on whenever he makes time for us. He was a giant scout for 32 years. And so, you know, because the Giants are relevant, let's be honest, who would have thunk that we would be here today, right? Heading into week 14, where every game matters. Well, maybe not every game. Last week, I told you I'm addicted to the ESPN NFL playoff machine. And I spend way too much time on it. Let's be honest. Like, what's worse, getting lost in a deep dark rabbit hole on the ESPN NFL playoff machine or TikTok? I think TikTok, guys. Right? I think TikTok
I've never really indulged in TikTok. I know it's a thing, and it became something huge during the pandemic. But I was never someone who was really on the app. I would just watch videos like via YouTube, not YouTube, like social media via Instagram or Twitter.
I think the best TikToks make their way to Twitter and Instagram. So I'm not a big TikTok guy either, but if it is a big TikTok, I believe you'll see it on another platform.
You know who does a lot of TikTok videos is Juju Smith-Schuster. Have you seen his latest TikTok video where the guys are in the locker room dancing and This is so bad that I know this. And they have, like either or on each side. And so you either make a right or a left.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Have
yes.
you seen the video?
Yes, I have seen that video. I think they're in the locker room, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, they're in the locker room. But Juju Smith-Schuster is big. Anyway. TikTok is one of those things that I just, you know, if it's like 1:30 in the morning and I can't fall asleep and you know, I've put in all my gambling wagers for the week, and I fall in this deep, dark rabbit hole. But anyway, the point of my story is the ESPN NFL machine is taking over that deep, dark rabbit hole for myself in place of TikTok. And I've been spending a lot of time on it, and the Giants really are in control of their own destiny. They really only have to win two games in order to get in. And, you know, obviously a lot is riding in regards to what happens with Washington as well. Here's the thing. I don't anticipate Washington to win their next four games straight. So if the Giants beat the Cardinals and their last game of the season is against Dallas, but they lose to Cleveland and Baltimore, they can still get in. So, you know, but still, here's another thing that's kind of crazy. If they go 2-2, they're getting in under 500. They're getting in as a 7-9 team, and they're hosting the first round of the playoffs. There's just so many things wrong with that scenario. And they would host, marinate in this for a second. Okay. If the Giants go 7-9, okay, they still get in as the fourth seed, and they will host the way that I have my ESPN NFL playoff prediction, my seven teams that have advanced, they will host the fifth seed, Tampa Bay Bucks, at 11-5. So Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks will have to travel here to New York City to take on the Giants, hosting as a 7-9 team. Listen, I'm thrilled for Giants fans if that's how it works out. And here's another thing. Don't be surprised if the Giants win that game. There's one thing we know about Tom Brady. He doesn't like pressure. Okay? For a guy who plays quarterback, for a guy who plays in the NFL, a physical sport, dude doesn't even like to be touched by a pinky. So Giants defense, and also keep in mind, you've got, if anything, coaches on this staff know Tom Brady extremely well. Joe Judge, Patrick Graham, what a beautiful matchup. Do not be surprised if the Giants beat the Tampa Bay Bucks in that first round of the playoffs to advance to the second round. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. But I just, and again, I'm thrilled for Giants fans, but let's be honest. I mean, this process is like the Electoral College. Like, it needs to go. It's so 2000 and late. It's just so dumb. I do believe that there should be one team from every division that advances to the postseason, and then you've got three other wild card teams. But once those seven are decided, then I think you need to restructure where the teams that have the best record should host the first round of the playoffs. It's just again, just my two cents, just what how I feel it should work out. But nonetheless, the point being is that the Giants are relevant, and they're relevant for the next 4 weeks. And that's a really cool thing. Let's be honest. So I'm sure Giants fans out there have to be really excited about it. So I'm excited to have Steve Bertarossa on the show. Was on with me yesterday, so I'm going to replay that interview for you coming up this hour. Talked about the Giants, talked about his expectation for them as they get into the playoffs. We also talked about the Jets. I know this week one of the big storylines is, and Ty, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this if you want to jump in, by all means. But you know, one of the storylines was like Greg Williams, he blew that game. He threw that game on purpose. Now, Steve totally disagrees, and he's got really, really great analysis as to why he disagrees that the Jets purposely or the coaching staff purposely tanked that game in order to make sure that they still get the number one pick. And with all expectation, they'll be going after Trevor Lawrence. But I'm curious because, you know, obviously you produce shows here on 98.7 ESPN. This is last night was a gambling show. It's kind of my first show. As a Jets fan, do you feel that game was thrown on purpose?
Let me just start by going backwards. The game was devastating. I was here in the studio watching it.
Devastating.
Yeah, it was devastating because, for one, wow, I am not a Jet fan who was rooting for them to go 0-16, even though I know the payout would be Trevor Lawrence, who is the best college player in the country. I can't root for my team to go winless because it's historic in a way that you don't ever get forgotten. You always get remembered as that team that went 0-16, and I don't want to have that attached to my football team. So 1-15 just feels a lot different than 0-16. So that's number one. Number two is I'm never going to be the guy celebrating losses because I think that's embarrassing. So like all the Jet fans on Twitter after the game who just waving pom-poms, just celebrating like they had actually won a game. And three, it would be ridiculous to think that Greg Williams, who won't be part of this coaching staff next year, would tank this game on purpose to help the Jets go 0-16 so they can get Trevor Lawrence. Greg Williams doesn't care about that. He's not going to be here. And if anything, I don't know that he's ever going to get a defensive coordinator position, but if anything, you would think that this is his audition for another team. So why would he want to be a part of a group that goes 0-16, you know, where the defense struggles? So I never thought that made sense. Never.
Well, then you're really going to enjoy Steve Verderosa's take on it because he agrees with you as well. But I know that that was a hot topic of discussion this week, not just with Jets fans, but really all over the country. I mean, I was booked to do quite a few radio shows this week to talk about the Jets. And that was the main question was, you know, are the Jets, is their coaching staff tanking on purpose? So, and then, of course, we dove into one of the best games, I think, and that is the Sunday night game with Pittsburgh and Buffalo. Excited to have him on the show. We'll hear from Bill Barnwell, as always, at 1 o'clock. Cynthia Freeland is always at 2 o'clock. And, of course, Joe Wiz will join us towards the end of the show to give us his picks heading into Week 14 of the NFL season. 800-919-3776 is the phone number. That's how you get on board. I want to hear from Giants fans. I'm curious. We are anxiously waiting the announcement or the decision, hashtag, whether or not Daniel Jones is going to be, as I like to call it, active and attractive tomorrow or not. The line right now is the Giants are getting two. The Giants are a home. Can we just marinate in this for a minute? I know we're marinating on a lot today, and that's okay. A
lot of marination going on.
It's a lot of marination. Marinate in this. The Giants are a home dog against a team that's 1-4 their last five games, and actually should be 0-5 if it wasn't for a ridiculous Hail Mary pass to one DeAndre Hopkins. Marinating that for a minute. They are a home dog. That, as an avid gambler, that screams red flag to me. Like, what? Why? What's happening here? Kyler Murray has been a shell of himself since he hurt his shoulder 3 weeks ago. I'll give you some stats when we get back as to why. But I've buried the lead here. I truly believe that if and when the Giants announce that Daniel Jones will start and play tomorrow, and I'm not sure that that's going to be the case, but it could be. They could come out and say, you know what, we just don't want to risk it. You know, no risk it, no biscuit, whatever. We don't want to risk it. We're going to go with Colt McCoy. I think this line stays the same. I think if the Giants come out, whether it's this afternoon, maybe, you know, a lot of teams don't like to leak information or send breaking news until like 5 o'clock in the afternoon for whatever reason. And let's say the Giants come out and say that he's not going to play. I think the line stays the same. If they come out and say that he is going to play, I think this line jumps. It's either going to become a pick 'em or the Giants are going to be favored by one. So keep that in mind. So if you really like the Giants, I love the Giants this week. I love him. But there is one player that I am more concerned about. There is one player that I absolutely feel needs to be active and attractive this week in order for the Giants to win. And that one player is not Daniel Jones. I'll tell you who it is when we get back.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We were hoping to hear late last night, if not this morning. It's already 12:30. Again, chances are probably Giants won't announce anything until 5 o'clock tonight. That's typically what happens, especially with that organization. Just don't quite get it, but whatever. To each their own. So if you're really confident like I am, I was on Daily Wager last night. Not sure if you tuned in. Shameless plug, not so shameless. Hopefully you do. Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on ESPN2. Each Friday, I have my dog of the week, and I picked one of my dogs to come on with me. I dress them up in some silly NFL garb, and I have this cute little Giants helmet, and I put it on my Sookie Sook. And so Giants are my dog of the week. I like them on the money line at plus 130. But again, it's because they're getting they're plus two right now. And I think that's going to change if the Giants do announce that Daniel Jones is going to get the start. But as I said, when I went to the break, there was one player that I'm more concerned about that I absolutely feel needs to be active and attractive in order for the Giants to win this week, and that is linebacker Blake Martinez. This is a Arizona Cardinals team that really the straw that stirs the drink, let's be honest, is Kyler Murray. And ever since his shoulder injury, he just has not been the same. And just I came across a really interesting stat I want to share with you. In the last three games, he has only 9 designated rushing calls total in the last three games. Prior to him hurting his shoulder, prior to the last three games, he was averaging 6 to 7 a game. Designated. That means like Kingsbury's calling in running plays for him. Specific running plays. Not that, you know, he's like trying to scramble to save his life. Designated rushing plays, total of 9 in the last three games. No bueno. That's not how this Arizona Cardinals team is going to win football games. And they haven't. They're 1-4 their last 5 games. And like I said, they should be 0-5 if it wasn't for that Hail Mary pass. And this Giants defense is good. And the straw that stirs that drink, in my opinion, is Blake Martinez. So I am more concerned, and I am more intrigued. Right now he's listed as questionable. He's dealing with a back issue. I need Blake Martinez to start tomorrow more than Daniel Jones. And that might sound crazy for a lot of people. It might sound crazy. And that's fine. That's fine. You think it's crazy? Again, it's my opinion. Guys, I lost the caller screen. I do want to go out to some of our calls. Who do we have up there to... Let's go to Sal in Dutchess. Sal, welcome in.
Good afternoon, Anita. Quick Hi. Question. From what I heard, you just say that you liked Tampa Bay to advance to the playoffs and not Minnesota?
So just to give you an idea of, again, I've spent countless hours on this playoff machine. In the NFC, this is who I have. I have the Saints as the number one seed at 14-2. I have the Green Bay Packers, the second seed at 13-3, the Rams, the third seed at 12-4, and the Giants, the fourth seed. And again, you know, they could win eight or nine games.
Right.
Okay. 8 or 9 games. My fifth seed is the Tampa Bay Bucks at 11-5. And if that's the case, then they would come here to New York to take on the Giants. I've got Seattle as the sixth seed at 10-6, and I've got the 49ers as the seventh seed in 9-7. Those are my NFC teams.
Okay, because when I looked like today, I mean, it's hard. I know Tampa's favored by like 6.5, 7, but my gut feeling says that Minnesota's going to, you know, fight them to the end, and they also got, I think they have the weaker schedule than Tampa does. So would you like, today is no point.
Okay, so just FYI, because I have the NFL playoff machine up on my computer. I just went to this week 14, and I clicked on the Minnesota Vikings. So the Minnesota Vikings, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, the Minnesota Vikings beat the Tampa Bay Bucks this week. They're
right.
they're still at 10-6, and they're still the fifth seed. Okay, I have them beating the Atlanta Falcons. I think we all know that
they
can
play them twice. They play them next week at the end. Because they have Detroit in the middle.
Right. So I have them. So right now I have, let's just say hypothetically speaking, the Bucks get upset by the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
Okay. So that puts them at 10-6, but they're still the fifth seed.
They're still the fifth seed. Wow.
Yeah.
So today, if it would be no points in like with Tampa Bay and Minnesota, would be no points. Would you expect the upset or no?
I'm staying away from this game. You know, here's the thing. And Sal, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. You know, the Bucks are coming off of a bye. You know, Tom Brady's feeling really good about himself. He's going to have all his weapons. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, both the running backs, Gronk. You know, they're just and they're home. Listen, I'm staying away from this game. If anything, if I was to play this, I would probably use the Vikings as a teaser, and I would tease the Vikings up to like +13, +13.5, +14, +14.5, wherever you're going to get them. It's probably how I would play this. I think this is going to be close. You know, the one thing about the Tampa Bay Bucks, it's hard to run on them. And when Dalvin Cook is not cooking, eating, however you want to phrase it, the Vikings struggle, because the one thing that works in favor of Kirk Cousins is play action. So I do believe the Tampa Bay Bucks win. I have them winning, but I think this is going to be closer. I wouldn't be surprised if this comes down to a field goal, you know, last play of the game, something like that. Last drive of the game, Tom Brady drives them down, something like that. I think it's going to be a competitive game. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. 800-919-3776. When we get back, I'm going to play that Steve Verderosa interview with you. It's so good. He's so good and so insightful when it comes to the Giants, the Jets. And also we dive into, I think, one of the best games on the schedule this week. And that is the Sunday night game with the Pittsburgh Steelers heading to Buffalo to take on the Buffalo Bills. Whew. I'm excited for week 14 games. My guy Taysom Hill gets another start against the Eagles. Ugh. Eagles going with Jalen Hurts. Unbelievable.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
In the break, I was just telling the fellas, I love Bill Barnwell. I really do. He's just such a good egg, and he's so talented, and he's so good at what he does. And ESPN is so thrilled and has to be so lucky to have him on board. And we're lucky. Let's be honest. We're fortunate. We get him every Tuesday. I mean, I'm sorry, Tuesday. We get him every Saturday at 1 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Harvey. Calling in from South Florida. Harvey, where in South Florida? Where in South Florida are you calling from?
I'm near Fort Lauderdale, a town called Coconut Creek. I don't know if you know that town.
Yeah, born and raised in Kendall, Harvey. Born and raised in Kendall.
Well, you influenced me to move down here, Anita. That's why I'm here.
Oh, okay.
So glowingly about your days here in South Florida. I said, you know, let me go check that out.
I'm sure that was the reason why you moved down there, Harvey.
It was a part of it. Let's say it was a part of it. You know, you do have an influence on your listeners.
That's very nice.
Reason for the call, a couple of points regarding Steve's analysis on that Jets last play. Lamar Jackson, true, he's right. He's a bad, inexperienced cornerback. That's true. You don't bite on a double move with zero time in the game on a 50-yard situation. You don't bite on that. However, he's leaving out the fact that Greg Williams knows all this, and Greg Williams put him on an island as if he was a young Darrell Revis. And even with Darrell Revis, you don't have that type of defense. Even with a great cornerback, you play a prevent defense. It was literally like a Hail Mary play. You rush three guys, and you keep at least three or four guys back near the goal line, because any pass caught in the field, shy of a touchdown, the game's over. So he has to get blamed for that. And the reason about tanking, I don't think Greg Williams tanked because he wants the Jets to get the number one pick. I think he was hoping they'd lose because him and Adam Gase hate each other. And Adam Gase knows that. He knows that this guy hates him. And he fired him immediately. I'm sure Adam Gase, through his mind, went, that's SOB, man. He ruined me. I could have had a win. He just took it away. He wants me to go 0-16, so I joined him out of a job. And I think that's the main reason. And one other point, Anita, the call that he said the Giant line should move 7 points, is he not aware that they won at Seattle with their backup quarterback? They won the game handily at Seattle. And Danny Dimes is still a young guy, a work in progress. He's not Patrick Mahomes, that he's going to make the team so much better, guaranteed. He could even make them worse if he turns the ball over. I mean, they're a run team with a good defense. They don't even rely on a passing game, even with Jones. They don't rely on
I mean, Harvey, you sound like somebody who's, you know, pretty savvy when it comes to gambling. I think people would be really surprised in regard to how much a player being active or inactive moves the needle, you know.
Do you think that Vegas already knows that Jones is probably going to play, even when they made the -2 line? They just don't trust the Giants as being that good of a team, that they think their luck is going to run out. I think that has something to do with the line. I don't agree with the line at face value.
The line is a big red flag for me as well. And thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. Also, I think a part of this line is, let's be honest, we're dealing with a hamstring injury here. And, you know, I really think that if the Giants weren't in a predicament where, like I said, they have to win 2 of their next 4. Okay. Because again, I play around with this NFL playoff machine. And I have them losing to the Browns, and I have them losing to the Ravens. I have them beating the Cardinals and beating the Dallas Cowboys, and they still get in, even with Washington winning their next 4, which doesn't seem likely to me. But regardless, you know, there's still a risk because this is a hamstring injury. Maybe Daniel Jones is trying to get back too soon. He could tweak it and get out of the game. You know, there is a probability there, whatever the percentage is, that could happen. You know, so keep that in mind. But I think folks would, you know, there's only a handful of players that can turn a line 6 or 7 points. You know what I mean? Like Patrick Mahomes is one of them. You know, there's very, you know, typically across the board, a player with much significance, specifically a quarterback, really has no more than a 3-point change in handicapping games. Maybe 2 or 3 players have that much power where it's just so significant that the line changes to 7. Let's go to Dale in Pennsylvania. Dale, you're up.
Hey, Anita, thanks for taking my call. I had a Jets question for you. I wanted to get your take on it. With, you know, the upcoming offseason and free agency, I was thinking, what if the Jets go after those 2 defensive ends from Baltimore, knowing that they're both on a franchise tag and they're going to have to pay Lamar Jackson over in Baltimore? I don't believe there's a way that they would franchise tag either of them again at a price tag of upwards of $20 million. And trading our the number one overall pick, you know, if we get it, to Jacksonville for their 2 number ones, and use all the number one picks we have to go, you know, offensive side of the ball. You're going to have Bryce Hall in his second year, a full offseason, hopefully.
Here's the thing. Dale, I appreciate the phone call, and thank you so much for listening from Pennsylvania. I have not done a deep dive in regard to free agency in the NFL and who's coming out of the draft. In full transparency and full honesty, I just have not. But I will tell you this. If the Jets get the number one overall pick, it has to be Trevor Lawrence. In talking to the number of scouts that I have spoken to already this season about him, I mean, this guy is like the next coming. Like this is a quarterback of a generation. This is a quarterback that only comes around like once every 15 to 20 years. So packaging, whatever. No. Jets get the number one pick. It has to be Trevor Lawrence.
This is Click. Click, click, click. Or don't. Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
All right, time for Click or Don't Click. Just a fun way we kind of scan all that's trending right now in our wide, wide world of sport, and we allow our producers to lead the way. And so Ty and Jake, take it over, my friends.
All right, Anita, we spoke about a story a couple of weeks ago with Kyrie Irving and his desire to avoid the media this year. So here's the headline. Kyrie Irving and the Nets were each fined $25,000 over his refusal to talk to the media. And yeah, his refusal to talk to the media.
Kyrie Irving was fined $25,000 because he would not speak during the team's media availability. And he writes, "I do not talk to pawns. My attention is worth more."
He is making a boatload of money. He basically got to handpick the coach he wanted to.
Everybody that doesn't own a business is a pawn. Everybody. You are. Kevin Durant is. Sean Marks is. We're pawns for ESPN.
All right, so that was... So that was the Michael Kay Show.
Talk about a hot take.
And what they're referring to is, Anita, Kyrie Irving, this was his statement on Instagram. He say, "I pray we utilize the fine money for the marginalized communities in need, especially seeing where our world is presently. I am here for the peace, love, and greatness. So stop distracting me and my team and appreciate the art. We move different over here. I do not talk to pawns. My attention is worth more." So the audio you heard was the Michael Kay Show, which you can hear from 2:55 to 7 every day here on 98.7 ESPN. They were responding to that quote that Kyrie put on Instagram.
So you just assumed that I was going to click it then, right?
I kind of assumed. That's on me.
You just assumed.
It's a great news story. I assumed, but you know what happens when you assume, right, Anita?
Okay. What I was going to say is really the headline should read like, you know, what was the Mr. High Maintenance does it again? Something like that for sure. I mean, we talked about it last week. The guy is high maintenance. But didn't we know this coming in? Didn't we, like, if we knew this about Kyrie before he signed with the Nets, don't you think the Nets knew this coming in? You know, this is what you signed up for. I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised. He is who he is. He's not going to change just because he signed with the Nets.
Yeah, but I mean, you would hope that with age comes maturity. And being in this situation, it's unique and it's different because you're not playing with LeBron James anymore. You're playing with Kevin Durant, who obviously is great. I'm not saying like he's a lesser player, but you're playing with Kevin Durant, who you don't yet have that chemistry with, coming into a brand new situation. Both of you guys are returning from significant injuries, and you're playing for a coach who's in his first year. He doesn't have any head coaching experience. And now you're thrown right into a championship or bust season. So it's unwanted, unnecessary attention that he's bringing to the team in a negative way, and it's going to be the story all season long. It's unfair to his teammates, and you know, let's just say the Nets start off 2-7. How well is that going to go over? So it's just so unnecessary. Why don't you just show up, talk to the media like everyone else does? None of the stars in the league have problems talking to the media. Steph Curry, LeBron James, and you're not those guys. Giannis, Harden, Kawhi, they all talk to the media. So I don't know why he feels like he's just above that. It just makes no sense.
Well, but that's it. That's just it, Ty. He thinks he's above the media. He thinks he's above other people. He thinks that he is above everyone else. This is how he envisions himself. So he's not going to respect anyone else. He's not going to respect anyone else's job, anybody else's career.
And just
because he thinks he's better than everyone else.
And just lastly on this, I do feel bad for KD. Everyone knows, like, if you know me, you know how much I love Durant. I'm rooting for him to win a championship in Brooklyn. I just feel bad for him because you go from Steph Curry, who was a world-class athlete and just a good guy. The media loves him. He's a media darling. To this distraction. And if the Nets don't win a championship, it's not going to fall on Kyrie Irving or Caris LeVert. It's going to fall on Durant. He's going to get all the criticism. He'll get most of the criticism. So hopefully something changes going forward. But yeah, Kyrie Irving fined and the Nets fined $25,000.
All righty. Wow. I think it's my turn. You ready for another story, Anita?
I just to put a big fat bow on this, you know what? I feel bad that the Nets are fined because, you know, can you control a player in what a player does? It's not like the Seattle Seahawks were able to control, Mr. Skittles over there when he didn't want to talk to the media. So I feel bad for the organization, but, you know, Kyrie deserves to be fined. He deserves to be fined. I feel bad that the organization is getting fined. He's putting the organization in a horrible position. Anyway, yes, Jake, I am ready to move on.
All right, switching from
the next headline.
Switching from the NBA to the MLB, this news story broke about an hour ago, and it deals right here with the Big Apple. The New York Mets and catcher James McCann are finalizing a 4-year deal. Click or no click?
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna, you know me. Around this time, I'm not into baseball right now. I'm 185% into football, but I'm gonna click this just because, you know, I think this is a fun time right now for Mets fans. I think there's a lot of optimism now, right? New ownership, anticipated a lot of money. You know, an owner that not only has a lot of money but also is a fan and wants this organization to win. So yeah, I mean, I think it's an optimistic time right now for fans and this fan base. So yes, I'm gonna click this. Yeah.
All right. Well, sources told ESPN's very own Jeff Passan that the deal is for $40 million plus, so right around the $40 million range. And a lot of Mets fans were obviously hoping for JT Realmuto. But James McCann is no slouch either. He was a first-time All-Star in 2018. He set a new career benchmark with .273 batting average that year, 18 home runs, and 60 RBIs. And a lot of people said he played a pivotal role in developing Lucas Giolito. So with a guy like Jacob deGrom, possibly Trevor Bauer as well, he could be a real answer there for the catchers for the New York Mets.
Like I said, it's an exciting time. You know, I think Mets fans have a lot to be excited about, and you know, we'll see how good they'll be this year. You know, even if, here's my thing when it comes to the Mets, like, I hope that there's realistic expectations this season, right? Like I wonder how many Met fans are. Are you a Met fan, by the way, Jake? What are you?
I am a huge Yankee fan.
Okay, so you and Ty are in the same boat.
But I do see optimism for Mets. I don't think if James McCann is the only move that the Mets make this offseason, I get why the Mets fans would be let down, because they just got Steve Cohen. They think that they're going to make all these big moves. So if it's just James McCann, I could see why they would be upset. Well, but I think it's great first piece for sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's just going to be, you know, McCann. That's not my... I guess my point is there's so much optimism, there's so much excitement. I still think that I hope that there's a realistic sense of like, okay, you know, how competitive is this team going to be this season? You know, one of those quote unquote, trust the process. How long is it going to take to really steer this ship in the right direction? I don't believe it's going to be overnight. So that's all. I just, you know, a lot to be excited about, but more long-term than immediate future.
All right, Anita, last headline. For click or don't click. Jamal Adams says, I didn't feel Adam Gase handled certain situations well during my time with the Jets.
Yeah, I'm going to click that. I think this is going to be a, you know, an interesting game here, because that statement, very different than what we heard when he left town. And this will be his first game against his former team. So yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those huge storylines behind the X's and O's. So yeah, I'm going to click this.
All right. So Seattle will host the Jets tomorrow, the 0-12 Jets. And if it's for Seattle, it's a big game because they lost last week against the Giants. So they're still trying to, you know, stay atop that NFC West. And this is still obviously a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. But one of the biggest stories locally for us will be Jamal Adams and, you know, how that plays a part in the makings of this game. So here was Jamal Adams talking about Adam Gase.
Yeah, Adam Gase, you know, we had a solid relationship. I don't hate Adam Gase. I don't hate Adam Gase. I have no problem with Adam Gase. I just didn't feel he handled certain situations well as a head coach. And that's just my opinion. Everybody is entitled to their opinion, right? Just like you guys are. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and that's the world we live in. But like I said, man, I have no hate towards Adam. Obviously, you know, things are not going in a positive, you know, way over there in New York with the record. But at the end of the day, man, I'm going out there to, you know, going out there to win a ball game. If Adam comes up to me and shakes my hand and I'm going to shake his hand, there's no love lost. Like, listen, I'm at peace, man. I'm a different guy.
It's hard to say you're at peace when you keep talking about the Jets. And I'm someone who loved Jamal Adams. I did not want him to be traded. I wanted him to get that contract extension that he deserved. But you can't say that you're over it and that you're at peace when it's like every 3 weeks we hear you talking about the Jets. It's a big game for your team. You should be focused on that, because if you take a look at the standings, you know, the Rams right now are in first place in that NFC West division, and you're a game behind them, so you got to keep pace with them. And then the Cardinals are two games behind you guys. So it's a big game for the playoff implications. I don't need you talking about the Jets. Even though he was asked by a reporter, obviously.
I was just gonna, right. I was just gonna say. I mean, like,
he keeps talking about them.
I know, I get it, but like, you know, he was asked about it.
But he keeps talking about it. Keeps talking about him like every other week. Come on, Jamal, just focus on the game. I have nothing to say about the Jets. I don't need you talking about Gase.
But what do you want him to say? You want him to say no comment, no comment?
No, just say, listen, my time with the Jets is over. I'm focused on this game because we're making a run for the Super Bowl. I don't want to be asked any questions about the Jets. Let's just focus on this game. And, you know, we're looking ahead to winning this game. And hopefully we'll make a run for winning the Super Bowl. That's what you should say.
Okay.
Don't talk about Gase, Darnold. We got it. You like them. You don't have any, you know, hate for him. Okay, we got it. Just move on.
I'm sure he doesn't have any hate for him right now because he loves the situation that he's in. You know? I mean, it worked. Let's be honest. Squeaky wheel got the grease. It worked out for him.
Can you imagine if the Jets' only win is against Jamal Adams and the Seahawks?
No.
We said the same thing last week about Colt McCoy. You never know. Any given Sunday.
No.
You're right. No. It is the Jets.
No. I think what happened last week, the Seattle Seahawks, I think they underestimated, A, just how good that Giants defense is. Jets defense can't hold a candle to the Giants defense right now, number one. And number two, I think they underestimated, you know, not that Colt McCoy is blowing the doors off of anyone, but I think they underestimated just how well Colt McCoy can manage a game and how familiar he is with Jason Garrett's system and how comfortable he was in that system and how he was able to execute it. So I think Seattle was caught off guard. I think the players really underestimated the Giants in that game. I think that's what happened. But there's no underestimating the Jets. Let's be honest.
I mean, listen.
I mean, come on.
0-12, but they came really close to winning that game against the Raiders last week. So they're right there. They're knocking on the door of that first win.
Do you? I mean, let me ask you this, because and the odds are now. This is really interesting because the wise guys in Vegas have the Jets not going 0-16. They believe that they will win one of their next four games because it's -136. Now, for you to bet that they are going to lose their next four games and go 0-16, it's plus money right now. It's +110. So that means the wise guys in Vegas believe that they are going to win one of these games. If it's one of the four, I'm saying it's the Patriots, the last game of the season.
But why would it be? I get it. It's the game they have the best chance of winning out of the four.
Right.
In Seattle, in LA, they play the Rams.
Yeah, good
and
luck.
And then home for the Browns. Three really good to great teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how anyone can go into that game thinking that they're going to beat the Patriots, a team that yes hasn't looked great this year. They're probably out of playoff contention. They're nowhere close to being as good as the Patriots.
I don't think they won't be favored. The Patriots will be favored in that game, but I still think that there is that possibility, the possibility of them upsetting one of those teams, and more than likely out of those four, it will be the Patriots, who at that point in time, who knows, maybe they're starting Jared Stidham at that time. Maybe Cam is not even playing at that time. Who knows? Like, you know, Patriots are out of it. So who knows what their ball club is going to consist of that last game of the season.
Well, Cam better hope he's playing because he's still auditioning for a new contract.
But here's another thing.
He's a 1-year deal.
I don't even know if Cam wants to be there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but you're auditioning for another team.
It's true. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not buying in the way that the Patriots are utilizing him. He's better than that. But let's end on this, because I know we got to go to a break. And that is, if you're Bill Belichick, do you want to be that one team that the Jets beat? This is another. Think about this as out of motivation. If you're Bill Belichick, do you want to be that last team the Jets beat at the end of the season? The one team that prevents them from going 0-16? Oh, you're the team? I don't think Bill Belichick wants to be that team. You know what I mean?
But what if it stops the Jets from getting Trevor Lawrence?
Ooh. See, now you just made it all that much more interesting.
No, it's not that interesting. I mean, you think Bill Belichick cares who the quarterback of the Jets is? He doesn't.
I'm sure he doesn't want Trevor Lawrence his division for the next 10 to 15 years.
I'm sure.
Look at what Tom Brady was able to do for them.
I'm sure Bill Belichick looks at the Jets as a team that you could put Aaron Rodgers in his prime with that organization, and he's thinking they're not going to be good. They're going to find a way to ruin it.
Probably. All right, guys. Good job. Good job with Click or Don't Click. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate your effort, all your hard work. The sound was great. Good job, fellas.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.